beyond this world of bad news, daily bad news, Dainak Dur Samachar. How do you say bad news?
Bora
Samachar. Bora. Dinak Bora Samachar. They say daily news. What is daily bad news? But beyond this world or realm which we live in, there's the world of Krishna. And there's the world of Gauranga, Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there's the world, the Vaishnava world, where the devotees live in harmony with the Lord, and where the devotees live in union with the Lord, communion with the Lord through seva, divine union through seva, oneness in love, oneness in service, the Lord and his devotees, Bhagavan and Bhaktas. So in that world there is something very special that goes on there. And that's called Leela. Leela Bhumi. Braj Bhumi, Leela Bhumi. So it's called Leela. We translate in English as pastimes. Pastimes. Rasa Leela, Rasa Moya Leela, Julan Leela, Jalkeli Leela, Bojan Leela, Banbihar Leela, Goshtabihar Leela, Uttaragoshta Leela, Bansi Chori, Bansi Chori Leela, or Bansuri, you say Bansuri, Bansuri Chori, Radharani stealing Krishna's flute, or there's Pushpa Leela. There's this Leelas are going on. So there, in this world, the Lord and his devotees are having these wonderful, sweet pastimes, exchanges. So when the Lord comes to this world, or his Nityaparishads, his eternal associates, they come to this world. It's called descent. The word avatar is actually correctly translated as descent. They descend. And then they appear here. It's called prakat. So the words that are used to describe the appearance of the Lord in this realm of sense perception, what we can see and perceive in this world, that is called avirbhav titi, Krishna Jayanti, Krishna avirbhav utsav, mahotsav, great festival. It's a day of celebration. The Lord has appeared in this Gokul Dham, Vrindavan, Mathura Dham, and Janmastami, Janma Ashtami. So the Lord appears, Avirbhav. He appears and he disappears. But he ever exists and he's always here. And as the Lord appears and disappears and always exists and is always here, his eternal associates, they all also appear and disappear, and they always exist, and they're always here. Either all. Boma Vrindavan, and then Gokul Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan. As above, so below. We have Boma Vrindavan. Boma means Bhumi, earth plane. So Krishna brings Braj to here, to this place. It descends here, appears here. And all the Lord and all of his associates, they appear with the Lord. So on this very special day, it's special to us, but you might say, I didn't hear anything about it. There's nothing on the news. Nothing on the news, nothing in the newspaper. I didn't hear anything about this special day. You say this is a special day. This is an utsav. It's not on the Sarkari Panchanang or whatever it is, government calendar. It's a chuti. Ravivar chuti, hey. Chuti din. No work today. But in our calendar, in the calendar, God's calendar, Bhagavan's Panchang, and the Vaishnava Panchang, it's a very special day. This is a day that Srimati Radharani's dearest friend, dearest confidant, her sakhi. Her dearest sakhi, confidant. This is the day that she left this world. This is the day of her tirobhav. Tirobhav avirbhav. Tirobhav means disappearance. And for us mortal beings, residents of this samsara, we say he was born and he died. But there is no such conception when we're speaking about eternity, when we're speaking about divya tattva or transcendental subjects. There is no such thing as birth or death. As I mentioned, God is eternal. His associates are eternal. If you're eternal, then there's no beginning, there's no end. Beginning and end are for mortal beings, for the material body, the kalevaram, the sharira, deha. But for these immortal beings, the immortal residents, the immortal associates, they always exist. Is the sun born every day at sunrise? And does the sun die every day at sunset? In one sense, you can say, yes, it dies because we don't see it anymore. And then 12 hours later or so, it takes birth. We see it again. But actually, the fact is, the sun is always there. But the earth is turning in its axis in such a way that the sun becomes temporarily invisible to us, invisible, but it's always existing. So the Lord and his associates are sometimes visible and sometimes invisible, but they're eternally existing because they are residents of Sat-Dham. Sat-Dham means the eternal abode, Sat-Sachit-Anand, Anandam. And they come from the Sat-Dham and they bring the Sat-Dham here like a facsimile, a replica. You go in the German embassy and this, Chanakpuri or something? They have so many embassies, French, German, Switzerland, American, etc. And you go in there, then it's all German type, German people, Indians also, many Indian people working there. Of course, they also speak German and English. But you'll find German water and German magazines and even German pens and pencils and German stationery and all so many things from Germany. It's like a little facsimile of Germany. Even though it's situated, it appears it's in Delhi, it's part of India, but in one, it's one and different. It's India, okay, it's in Delhi, but it has its own characteristics, has its own particular flavor, a German flavor. So when Krishna brings his dham here, Ayodhya dham, Vrindavan dham, Navadvip dham, Sri Ketra dham, or let me say, Jagannath Puri dham, then it has its characteristics, it has its vishesh lakshana, special characteristics. It is also sat dham, it is also eternal. It appears to be in 90 miles southeast of Delhi, they write in the tourist guides. 90 miles southeast of Delhi is Vrindavan, Mathura, Krishna's Janam Bhumi. But it is not part of this Bhumi, it is transcendental. So, on this day, Radharani's dearest Sakhi, she appeared to disappear. It seems like she disappeared on this day. She came into this world and stayed for some time and then she left. The sun planet, Surya Devi, comes into our life for some time during the day and then he disappears. And then he comes back again. Oh, you're back again. Acha. Good morning, sunshine. Good morning, sun. Oh, you're leaving. Bye. Hi. Bye. So he comes and goes. And he's thinking, he's laughing. Sun planets, three days laughing. They're saying hi and bye. They're thinking, these earthlings, these earth people are thinking that I'm coming and going. I'm always here. These puggle. Hey, puggle, mork. Stupid. Why are they saying the sun is setting, the sun is rising, the sun has come, the sun is leaving? These people are stupid. Their vision is imperfect. Just because they're spinning around in a circle, they don't know that I'm always in the sky. So the same thing. Krishna is always in Vrindavan. Vrindavanam pratyaja ekam padam nagacchati. Padamekam. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, doesn't take one step out of Vrindavan at any second for eternity. It's Sat. Krishna is Sat. And his eternal associates are always existing there. Always. Sometimes we see them, sometimes we don't. Depends on our angle of vision and the purity of our consciousness. At any moment, at any time, in any phase in history, one can go to the Sat Dham and see Krishna and see Radha. 2099, 1000 BC, 6000 BC, year 7049. Will you be here? Will you be a Punjabi in the year 7049? Married again and again to the same wife. 7049. You're coming here. You'll be here in Gurgaon. But Vrindavan will be here. Whether it is Srishti or Pralaya, whether it's sunrise or sunset, the Dham is eternal. So, but in our Vaishnav world, in our Vaishnav Panchang, today is a day that Radharani's dearest Sakhi appeared to disappear. So it's called the Tirobhav of Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy is Vishakha Sakhi. Vishakha Sakhi came in Gaur Leela, in Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Vishakha, who is Radharani's very dearest Sakhi, her Priya Narma Sakhi. How much they are alike, how much similar Vishakha is to Radharani. They're like twins. Vishakha is like the twin of Radharani. Why? How is it? They have a different father and a different mother. It's very interesting. You can be my twin sister and you have a different mother and a different father. Very interesting calculation. Do explain. Firstly, they are both born on Radhastami. Ashtami, on Shukla Ashtami of Bhadramas. Srimati Radharani appeared, her Avarbha Tithi, Utsav, she appeared in this world at noon, 12 o'clock noon. And Vishakha also appeared at 12 o'clock noon, on the same day, in the same year. So they're exactly the same age. The word Vishakha means no branch. Shaka means branch. V means without branch. So there's a difference. Shaka, Vishakha means branch, like Bahushaka. There's a verse in Gita. Bahushaka, inantascha. Vyavasyatmika buddhu, ekeha kurananda. Yeah. Bahushaka, inantascha, buddha bhava samanvita. So Krishna's telling that those that are absorbed in the sense gratification, their intelligence is splayed out. It's not very much concentrated, nor can they concentrate. So she's Vishakha, there's no difference. She's like one with Radharani, like twin. And so these are some of the externals of their similarity. Place, time, date, all the same. And who stands next to Radharani in every temple in the world? Vishakha. She's her confidant. Because she's same age. Lita Sakhi, she stands next to whom? Krishna. Lita. Lalita Bihari Ki Jai. Lalita Sakhi is somewhat older, not much, 1 month. 1 month older than Radharani, but that's enough to be the big sister. To be exact, she's 27 days older. But she is extremely commanding and demanding. And she controls Radharani and Krishna, for that matter. Because Radharani controls Krishna. So if you control Radharani, then that means you control Krishna too. So Lita Sakhi has Krishna and Radharani in her back pocket. Let's, so to speak, in her hand. Vishakha stands next to Radharani, but the internals of their similarity are described thus. They have the same bhav, Swadina Bhratrika bhav. Means that Swadina Bhratrika bhav means that, that's what it means, that Radharani controls Krishna. And they have the same complexion. They look very much the same. Just like you see some Indian people, some are darker brown, some are golden brown, some are whitish, some are bluish white, some are yellowish white, many, many shades, skin tone. So the transcendental form of Vishakha is the same. Skin tone is Radharani. Same height. So in so many ways, they have the same mood, the same bhav, and together. So that's why Radharani feels very much akin and similarities with Vishakha. So that same Vishakha appeared in Gaura Lila as Rai Ramananda. And Rai Ramananda became the most intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially in his Jagannath, in his Gambira Lila and his Jagannath Puri Lila. In the last 24 years, or let's say last 18 years of his life, our manifested appearance here, Rai Ramananda was very close. Another close friend was Srup Damodar. And Srup Damodar is Lalita Sakhi. So Lalita Sakhi and Vishakha Sakhi came into Gaura Lila. They appeared here, Avirbhav, 500 years ago, as Srup Damodar Goswami and Rai Ramananda. So this is the day that Rai Ramananda left this world. So there are many interesting pastimes with the Lord and many teachings. The Lord, in one sense, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Rai Ramananda is saying, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks him questions, and then Rai Ramananda answers them. But it's almost, can you imagine, if you go into, you enroll in college, and you're in a physics class, and you haven't even, you just the first day in the class, and the teacher starts asking you very many questions about physics. And you say, well, wait a minute, you're asked, how am I supposed to answer these questions? You're the teacher, I'm the student. And then, so this is what happened, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God. So he's omniscient, he's all-knowing, he knows everything. But he's posing himself as an inquirer, he's inquisitive. He wants to know or understand some spiritual topics. So he asks questions, and Rai Ramananda says, he who is asking the questions is also answering the questions. Because you are asking these questions, which I cannot answer, but you are actually entering into me and making me give the answer. Like a ventriloquist, or like a... I'm like a... Kathputli. So he says, this is a very funny arrangement, which it would be if a student enrolls in college and say, my dear professor, you're asking me all these very complicated questions, but somehow if you put the words in my mouth, if you put the words in my mouth, the answers in my mind, and the words in my mouth, then I can then articulate the answer to your questions. Otherwise, it's impossible. I've just signed up for the class. So this is what happened with Rai Ramananda. So I thought there's many different discussions, but this is one particular section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I've selected a few verses because it's interesting, the questions, which bear some relevance to our own present-day lives, and the answers are also important to consider. So on this day of his Tirobhav, Rai Ramananda, on this day, he left this world and appeared to leave this world. He's still here. And he left all these great teachings behind, which are recorded in a book called Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Although it's not an ISKCON calendar, this is a very, very big celebration day in Radhakund on this particular day. This is the day of the birthday, this what they say in the Bengali calendar for the devotees in Radhakund. It's called Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Jayanti. This is the day that the Chaitanya Charitamrita was completed. This is the birth of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that book was finished in the year of 1581. This book we're reading from, which is Shud Bengali, and Sanskrit verses also, now in English, by Srila Prabhupada. This was written, it was finished in 1581. So in 1581, that means, if my math is correct, 427 years ago. So 427 years ago, this book was written. So every year on this particular tithi, which I don't know exactly what tithi this is, but on this particular tithi, there's a big celebration in Radhakund to celebrate the birthday of this book, which is a very interesting phenomenon. Usually we celebrate the birthday of our mother or father, or husband, wife, or children, or sometimes the birthday of India, Independence Day. So it's like the birth of the nation, the birthday. But here, in among the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we celebrate the birthday of a book, a grant. Grant Janma. What would you say? Birthday. Janmadin. Janamdin. Grant. Grant Janamdin or Janam Titi. Pushtak. Pushtak Janam Titi. Very interesting. Oh, today it's the... Do you know what today is? Did you know? Did you see? Did you hear on the BBC? Did you see on the news or read in the newspaper that didn't you know today is the birthday of Chaitanya Charitamrita? Acha? What's that? This is the book that we're reading from. So in Radhakund at the Bhajan Kuti of Krishnadas Kaviraj, he's a great poet, Kaviraj. And he lived 500 years ago. Actually, he completed this in 1581, 427 years ago. Every year they have a huge celebration there. And they read from the book all day, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then they have kirtan and pat and stuti and stotrams. And they have Vaishnava Seva, Bandara, and feed all the Vaishnavas. And we're here in Delhi, and that's going on in Radhakund. So we can serve two purposes here by reading from this sacred treatise, because these, one thing is it's a disappearance of a great Vaishnava in our Sampradaya, Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And this particular Vaishnava is Rai Ramananda, who is he was the governor of Madras, the Madras district, I don't know what it was called, but this is 500 years ago, a very powerful political figure. He became converted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement and became one of his most intimate associates. But he has a dual identity. And 500 years ago, he's appearing as a man or in a male form. But the same personality is actually a Parishad, Nitya Parishad, eternal family member of Krishna's Sangha or Krishna's family, Krishna's Parivar. So he has a female form in Krishna Lila. Two forms. One is Rai Ramananda and Gaura Lila, and in Krishna Lila is Radharani's confidential Sakhi, Vishakha Sakhi, Lalita Vishakha. So he or she is Vishakha. So we'll hear some of the teachings of Rai Ramananda in replying to the questions of Lord Chaitanya from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that way we can honor the birthday of this sacred book. Our Param Guru is Nityalila Pravishnam Vishnupad Sri Shrimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said that if there were all the books in the world disappeared, every single book somehow by some freak of nature or something, if every book in the world disappeared and only one book remained, and if that book was this book, Chaitanya Charitamrita, there would be absolutely no loss to the world. In fact, the world would really benefit, because everyone would be forced, since there's only one book to read, everyone would be forced by circumstance to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita and become duly benefited, not only materially, but spiritually and existentially and eternally, for the eternal good of everyone. So he was of that opinion. That's his opinion. And our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, when he was coming across to America, he came on a shipping liner, freighter, cargo boat. It doesn't exist anymore. It was sold for scrap metal, called Jaladuta. When he was on the boat, Guru Maharaj was on the boat, then he suffered tremendously. He was 70 years old. He left Vrindavan, went to Bombay, boarded the boat, and he was 70 years old. In fact, he celebrated his 70th birthday on the boat. Or I guess, yes, on the boat, 70th birthday. His birthday party was on the boat. And he asked the captain if he could make khichdi to offer to Lord Krishna and offer it to everyone. So the next day for the Paran, Janmashtami, fasting on Janmashtami, then Prabhupada fed khichdi to all the people on the boat, the workers or whatnot. So he suffered tremendously because Prabhupada endured two heart attacks in a row in the boat, all by himself. There was no doctors, no nurses, no medical assistance. He was on his bed and he thought he was going to leave his body. And then he had a Bhagavan Spurti means vision. Krishna appeared to him. And that's described in his biography. But during that voyage on the boat, which was from Bombay to New York, or to Boston and then New York, I think it was maybe 1 month or 6 weeks or so. During that voyage, then Prabhupada he remarked in his own diary, his own words, which were later found, he was keeping a diary. He said, I am suffering greatly in this situation. And the only thing activity that is giving me any solace is the reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Srila Prabhupada was reading this book in Bengali, because of course he was a Bengali person. And he was reading and getting great inspiration and inner strength, spiritual strength, to endure and carry on with his mission. So this is obviously a very, very important book. And so we'll start.
Prabhupuche Ramananda Karinu Tar E Matase Ratre Kataparasparar.
Mahaprabhu asked, Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the questions, and Sri Ramananda Roy gave the answers. In this way, they were engaged in discussion throughout the night.
Prabhu kahe kon vidya, vidya madhe sar, rai kahe Krishna bhakti bina vidya nahi ar.
So this is a pretty relevant question, especially to some people in the audience. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Rai Ramananda, he said, listen, vidya sar, this is pretty easy. If you know, Bengali and Sanskrit and Hindi are very analogous, very similar. And he said, what is the essence of all knowledge? What is the most important? What is the essence of all vidya? The most important type of education. And then he said, Krishna bhakti vina vidya nahi ar. He said, no education is important other than transcendental devotional service to Krishna. Krishna bhakti vina. Vina vidya. We are acquiring so much knowledge or education, and it's not culminating or bringing us to devotion, Bhagavan bhakti, devotion to God in any form, Vishnu, Narayan, Krishna, then it is useless. Although it may give us a degree or a qualification, material qualification to secure a job and thereby generate income for subsistence. But in terms of the answer that was given, Krishna bhakti vina ara vidya nahi. This is not vidya. This is avidya. Actually, in technical terms, we have two words here. We have vidya, which everyone knows, vidya, knowledge, science, biology, computer science. But then there's something called para vidya. Para vidya means transcendental knowledge, wisdom. Sometimes even in English we have this word, knowledge, then wisdom. Oh, what is... And so someone who's studying English, they may ask, well, is this a synonym? Is this a synonym or another word for knowledge? You say knowledge or wisdom? No, there's a categorical difference between wisdom and knowledge. So the same thing, we say vidya, paravidya. So paravidya, para means beyond, transcendental, alokik. Lokik and alokik. Alokik means of the world, worldly knowledge, physical knowledge, sensual knowledge. Sense perception generates understanding. We look, we see, we feel, we read, we hear. Sense knowledge. Indriya gyan. But then there's something called para, which is beyond, which is transcendental. This is knowledge that descends, not knowledge that ascends. Material knowledge, vidya, it ascends. It rises from the book into our eyes and goes to our mind. Ascending knowledge. It's called Arohapant. Arohapanta. Arohapanta means ascending, climbing the ladder. Oh, I learned ABC. Now I learned DEF. Now I learned XYZ. One step of the ladder. Oh, biology 101. The next step, biology 201. And then 301 and 401 or whatever. Bachelor's degree. Then I step to the next level. Master's degree, right? Ascending. It's called Arohapanta. But then there's Avaroha. Avarohapanta means descending knowledge. That knowledge which descends, it comes down and it is given. It is received. Not self-generated. It is simply, you point your ears upward and the knowledge falls in your ears. This is called Shabda Brahman, Paravidya, knowledge coming from beyond, Aporasheya, it is transcendental, Adhoksaja, it's called Adhoksaja Gyan, it is knowledge of transcendence, it descends. So, this is the path of spiritual life. We hear submissively. Krishna is telling in Gita, Tadvidhi pranipatena, pariprashnena sevaya, upadekshanti te jnanam, jnaninas tattvadarshan. Do you want jnan? Do you want tattvadarshan? Do you want to see the truth? The truth is beautiful. Satyam shivaram sundaram. Satyam shivaram sundaram. The truth is beautiful, sundaram. And the truth is shivaram, auspicious, kalyan. Very auspicious, fortunate, fortuitous, and beneficial. So this is Tattva Darshan. And the form, the rupam, the vastu, there's rupa and vastu. The actual form of the absolute truth is Bhagavan, Krishna. Krishna is that Satyam Shivaram Sundaram. He is the form of the absolute truth. He is the form of the absolute beauty. And he is the form of the absolute auspiciousness. Shivaram and Kalyan. So this is, when we have Tattva Darshan, we have Bhagavan Sakshat Darshan. Gyaninas Tattva Darshana. That Gyan, what Gyan? Not biology. Biology will not give you Bhagavan Darshan. Computer science will not give you Bhagavan Darshan. What type of knowledge? Paravidya. Gyaninas tattva darshan. This gyaninas means paravidya. Paravidya. This paravidya will give tattva darshan. You'll see the truth. Om bhur bhava swa. Tat savitur varanyam. It is varanyam. It is worshipable. It is savitur. It is effulgent. Savitri. Tat savitur varanyam. Bargo devasya dimahi. Bargo means Banu. Banu means sunshine. Devasya means divyati, playful. Bargo divyati. Bargo devasya, deva, Kamdev, a god of love. So even in the Brahma Gayatri, if you have proper realization of Brahma Gayatri, then you perceive Bargo. Bargo and devasya. Bargo is Radharani. The form of Bhargo is Radharani, and the form of Devasya is Kamadev Sri Krishna. Bhargo Devasya Dimahi. Dimahi. I meditate on this. Radha Krishna Yugal. Yugala Kishore. Radha Krishna Pranamor. Yugala Kishore. Jivane Marane Gati. Aro Nahi More. In life or death, arana, jivani ma, jivana marana, in life or death, Radha Krishna pranamor. I have nothing else but Radha and Krishna. They're my pranam, they're my prananath. This is Mahajan, Mahajan, Padakarta. They've written this bhajan, Narottam Das Thakur. So this vidya, Paravidya, gives darshan of Radha Krishna Yugal. Yugal. That's the ultimate darshan, sakshat. But not computer science. Now, next question is, how do you get this Paravidya? How do you get this Paravidya? I already said. I said it's Avaroha. Avaroha Panta, it's descending. So how do you bring it into your ears? As I said, you turn your ears up and you receive it. How does it fall into your ears? How do you get it? How does it descend upon us? Do you need a rain cloud? I need some ions in the silver ions in the atmosphere, and you'll make the rain cloud open up and drop rain on your head? How will that knowledge, that paravidya, descend into our heart? Krishna is giving the secret in Gita. Tadvidi pranipatena. Pranipatena. Dainyabhav, humility, submission. Gurupada Ashraya. Surrender to Guru. Gurupada Ashraya. Take shelter of the feet of Guru. Mantandan, Guru Samarpan. This is the first requisite to receive paravidya, submission. So that's why it is, we don't climb the ladder, we don't pull up the steps of the ladder by LG 101201. Hey Bhagavan. Trinada pi sunichena. Sunichena. Niche means low, isn't it? Down, low, below. Niche, right? Suniche. Sunichena means very, even lower than low. Super low. Su for super. Chinharapi sunichena. Sunicha. We must become lower than whatever the lowest thing you can think of. What is the lowest thing you can think of? What is the lowest possible Niche thing you can think of? Well, the ground. That's pretty low. I walk on it. I step on it. And what's on the ground? Oh, there's a piece of straw on the ground. Trina. Trina means grass. Right? So, well, the grass is on the ground. Maybe dry piece of straw or grass. Trina. But then get lower than that. So, this type of humility, submission, is the first thing. Tadvidi pranipatena. Pariprashnena. Then you ask questions. Because if you want paravidya, then what is it? How is it? Where is it? What does it mean? What is the form of that paravidya? How can I see it? How can I attain it? How can I realize it? Prashna. Questions. Who am I? Kayami. Where am I going? What is the purpose of life? Is there something more than just eating and dying? And in between sleeping? And some arguing? So this is prashna. Tadvidi pariprashnena. Then pariprashnena, then seva. If we serve the truth, we can realize the truth. But we cannot control the truth. We cannot conquer the truth. We cannot manipulate the truth. We will be controlled by the truth. We will be conquered by the truth. And we will be manipulated by the truth. And if that's the situation, then automatically you're in a position of seva. Tadvidi, this is chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita. What verse? 34. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashneva sevaya. Pariprashna sevaya. Upadakshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvat darshana. So this is paravidya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, of all types of education, which is the most important? And then Rai Ramananda says, Krishna bhakti Vina vidya nahiyar. He said, if that knowledge, if your vidya, or your lokik vichar, lokik vidya, if it doesn't produce Krishna bhakti, devotion to God, Krishna prem, priti, love of God, then it is useless. It has some limited value, admittedly. No one's going to argue that. It promotes your material cause. For our material cause, but it doesn't give emancipation. It doesn't give fulfillment. Does computer science fulfill your heart? Does dentistry satisfy your desire for love? No way. Fills your pocketbook, buys you a 3 crore house, but you may be, like we have a phrase in English, a house is not a home. Maybe Hindi has something like that. House, okay. Baro makan, or whatever you say. Bhavan, or whatever. Makan, or whatever. Big house. But inside, all backbiting, fault-finding. You this, you that. I hate you too. There's no home comfort there. House is there. Okay, ekdam badhiya. Hey, check it out. Italian marble. Wow, fantastic. But there's no prem bhav. It is like Kurukshetra. 18 days. 30 days a month, Kurukshetra. 12 months a year. House is not a home. So education is empty. It's a shell. It's an empty shell. A house without love and loving relationships is not a home. So education without devotion to God is empty. It's a shell. It's partial. It's not complete. Value, but limited. And importance, but temporary. Another question he's asking here. Sampatira modye jiver kon sampati gani Radha Krishna prema janra se bharadhani. Mahaprabhu said, of those people that, of all the rich people, the wealthy people, who has the most? Who's the richest? Who's the richest person, the most wealthy person? Sampati. Sampati means wealth. Sampati madhye jivir kon sampati gani. So what is the answer Rai Ramananda gives? He said, say bhara. This is Bengali, bhara. We say bharo. Bharo dani. Very big crorepati, ati ati crorepati. Of all the wealthiest people, who is wealthy? And Rai Ramananda says, he who has love for Radha and Krishna, he is a wealthy man. He is the wealthiest. He has the most. He is the arapati. He is an ati ati arapati. What is his wealth? He may be niskinchan. He may be akinchana sadhu, niskinchan. He only has kopin or kanta, some torn blanket. He's sleeping under the trees. He's wandering the forest, rustic pagal. All day long, Radhe, 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 Radhe. So this is the wealthiest person. We think a wealthy person that we have all kinds of magazines, and the 500 wealthiest people in India, and everyone's seeing every year the magazine comes out, and last year I was 49. This is we aspire for that position, that pratishtata, that fame and name, lobe. Puja and pratishtata. But Rai Ramananda said, he who is richest in love for Radha and Krishna, he is the greatest capitalist. Prabhupada, our Gurudev, gives a purport. He says, everyone in the material world is attempting to acquire money to satisfy their senses. Actually, no one cares for anything other than acquiring material possessions and maintaining them. The wealthy are generally accepted as the most important personalities in the material world. But when we compare a material man of wealth to one who is wealthy in Krishna bhakti, the devotee who has Krishna prem is considered to be the greatest capitalist. He's the greatest sampati wala, or dhani wala. So now he asks the question, because we all know about this, and we all know about this, and we've all experienced this, time to time in our life, or maybe a lot of times. So Lord Chaitanya says, Dukha madhe kon dukha hai gurutar. Krishna bhakta viraha bina dukha nahi dekipar. Mahaprabhu says, of all kinds of distress, dukha madhe, duk, everyone knows duk, unhappiness, sadness, distress. Of all the different kinds of possible distress there are, what is the most painful distress or dukkha? And he says, the answer is Krishna Bhakta Viraha. This is pretty simple, same in Hindi. Separation. Apart from separation
from the devotee of Krishna, I do not know of any more unbearable unhappiness. So this is, he's saying, Rai Ramananda is saying, I can't bear this. To be separated from a devotee of the Lord is, I'd rather die. This is unbearable. So this is the feeling that one has. I can tolerate anything, and I can do no pain is too great to bear, but to be without a devotee, to not be able to speak to a Vaishnava or hear Harikatha, this is unbearable. Very interesting. We could never think like this. Now he asks a song. He asks a question. Because we all have cell phones, and every second they're trying to sell us a new song. Every second an announcement comes on our telephone. Oh, what is it? Download this ringtone, isn't it? Something like this.
Yes.
Only 25 rupees or 1 second or whatever, you know, they charge. I don't know. I never did it, but they're trying to make money by selling some song. And every day it's a different song, and every week it's a different song, and every month it's a different song, and thousands of songs. And no one, you keep changing a song, this song, and that song, and this song. You have this song for 1 month, and oh, I don't like that, and another song. I'm never satisfied with one song. So then he says here in this verse about the best song. He says, Gan madhe kon gan jivera nija dharam Radha Krishnera prema keli je gitara marm. Mahaprabhu said, among all the types of gan, the songs, which song is actual conveying the nija dharma, the religion of the living entity? Jiva nija dharma. This is very interesting. He's connecting gan, he's connecting, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is connecting songs with dharma. What is the best song which actually will promote religion within the living entity? Then he said, that song which describes Radha and Krishna's loving affairs is the best of all songs. Radha Krishna Prem Keli Jai Gitara Marma. This is the purport, the conclusion of all songs, of all Geet, or Sangeet. We say Sangeet. Sangeet or Geet. So he's saying Radha Krishna Prem Keli. Songs about the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. There's so many wonderful Hindi songs, Bengali songs describing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. He's saying these are the best. These are the best ringtones. But now, and sometimes maybe they have, I don't know. So many varied ringtones. There are many songs. But he's saying this is the best song. You want to sing the best song? Because this type of singing, if we sing songs about the Prem Keli of Radha and Krishna, then that will actually give us awareness of God. Just by singing. We're always singing something. And we're always hearing so many songs. But they don't have any spiritual benefit, generally. Some do, some don't, most don't. Movie songs, cinema songs, we like the tune. We saw the movie, we liked it. And it was a theme song in the movie, and so we put it on our telephone. And after a week or two or a month, oh, I'm tired of that. Then we go to a new movie and hear a new theme song, and then we put that on our cell phone. But these songs are eternal, and these can really, they can actually, they're pleasing to the ears and senses, and actually promoting. They actually promote the cause of the soul. It says, Jivera Nija Dharam. The dharma, the personal, religious, the connection. Dharma means connection. The connection of the jiva with Bhagavan is promoted, increased, enhanced, embellished, enriched by hearing songs about Radha Krishna Prem Keli. It's very nice in language, Bengali. It's like maybe same in Hindi, I don't know. Radha Krishna Prem Keli. Now you translate that in English, the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. That doesn't have the same tone, Radha Krishna Prem Keli. And then he says, what is the most auspicious activity? This is what this next question is. Shreyas. It says, Shreya Madhye Kon Shreya Jivera Haya Sar Krishna Bhakta Sangha Bina Shreya Nahayar. He says, it's pretty clear what he's saying. Out of all auspicious or Shreyas, ultimately beneficial and auspicious activities, which is the Sar, the essence or the best? And Rai Ramananda says, the only auspicious activity is association with devotees of the Lord, Krishna Bhakta Sangha. So this is pretty, can say, loaded dice. Loaded dice. Everything seems to be, all the answers are Krishna or Krishna's devotees or singing about Krishna. If you follow the trend of the questions, there's a lot of questions, but it's like they say in during the Roman Empire, all roads lead to Rome, because the Roman Empire spread all over and it had so many intricate roads or rastas, and they all ended up in Rome, which was the capital, of the empire. So here, the answer of all questions, like once Prabhupada, many times God brothers or God sisters, they would ask Prabhupada questions. Well, Prabhupada, I'm having this problem and I'm having that problem and this difficulty, and Prabhupada listened very compassionately. He said, yes, yes. So then the disciple is waiting for an answer or a solution, and Prabhupada would say, actually, the best thing you can do is chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Bolo. 1,001 problems, 1,001 questions, and one solution and one answer. One solution to the 1,000 problems and one answer to the 1,000 questions. Hare Krishna Bolo. Or Kuchne. Hare Krishna. Sounds simple, but actually it's a fact, because if infinity is on your side, then how can you lose? Hare Krishna is infinity. And what are our problems? Whatever the sum total of all our problems only become finitude. They're only finite. Right? Infinity. Finite. Finite means insignificant, minuscule, anu, atomic. All the sum total of our problems is, what is it? It's nothing. This is just a small little bag of problems. And if Bhagavan, Bhagavan Kesat, Bhagavan is Bhagavan Sanghi, Bhagavan Association, he's infinity. God is infinite. And if infinity is your friend, then what is your problem? Just like if Bill Gates is your best friend, do you have any money problems? Not as he's your friend or your relative. What if he's your brother or father? You think the son of Bill Gates has any money problems? You may have problems. You may be psychotic or manic depressive or who knows what. You know, but at least he doesn't have to worry about paying his electric bill or buying a new Ferrari or Lamborghini or whatever he wants to buy, or 10 a day or whatever. So if infinity is our companion, then we're in the pink, where everything is perfect. So this is the devotee's solution. Is that actually correct? Prabhupada said, "Oh, you have all these problems. You have all these questions. Well, make a contract, make a joint contract with infinity. Link up with infinity. All problems solved. All questions answered." Bingo, you're there. Instant success. This is what should everyone remember. Then I'll read the Bengali. It says, Kanhara smarana jiva karibe anukshan krishnam gun lila pradan smaran. Pradan smaran. This is a chief, the most important pradan. Pradan mantri, right? Chief minister, prime minister, right? Pradan mantri. Prime Minister, Pradhan, Chief, Prime, Primal, most important, Smaran, Smriti, most important. What should we remember? What should everyone remember always? He says, Rai Ramananda says, we should remember the Krishna Nam Gun and Leela. We should remember Krishna's holy name and his Gun, his qualities, Krishna's qualities, Divya Gun, Alokik qualities, his transcendental qualities. Nam Gun Leela and his Leela.
So day and night and news and radio and everything, we're blasted with all this news. So we remember it, and we know all the infinite details. The name, the address, the time, the date, and how many clouds were in the sky on that day, and how many birds were chirping in the tree. All these news that they give us. We know what color shoes the servant was wearing. We know what color tie the daughter or the husband was wearing. You know, it's like ridiculous, useless. Has absolutely nothing to do with reality and nothing to do with us. But our whole brain and consciousness is wrapped into it. And we're emotional about it. And we have feelings about it. And we talk about it. And we dream about it. And we get angry. And we get, you know, I'll kill that guy. Or whatever. We want justice. And we want the information. We want the conclusion. And it's absolutely maya. It's a waste of time. Just imagine you lived in a village in Haryana. There's no television, no radio, no internet, no cell phones. Would you know a damn thing about this event? Zero. And would your life go on? Yes. Very peacefully. So we crowd our brain, we crowd our heart and mind with useless junk. Niti Shastra Chanaka Pandit says, You take gold even from a filthy place. So if there's something good, you take it. But you leave the filth. So, what is Mahabharata telling us? Should we remember everything about the latest scandal or scheme? Now this is in the family arena. The family arena. Because we are family people. And we are social people. Man is a social animal. And we live in the family circle. And this is news affecting the family circle. So we're absorbed in it. But we're also political beings because we're living in a political reality. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is all useless. Poison. This is vish. Useless. It's killing the vital energy of the jiva. It's blocking out any possibility to do Krishna Smaran. Nam Gun Lila. What should we remember? Krishna Nam. Nam Smaran, Guna Smaran, Radha Krishna Guna Smaran, Leela Smaran. Even in Bengali, they've honed it to a fine art. They have Guna Kirtan, Leela Kirtan, Nam Kirtan. You've heard, everyone's heard of Nam Sankirtan. You're so familiar with that. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya, Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya. Nam Sankirtan. You sing the name and you think, I'm singing Ram Nam. Sri Krishna Govinda Hare Murari He Nata Narayana Vasudeva. Right? Jai Govinda, Jai Gopal, Keshava Mahadava Dina Dayal. So we sing that out. Oh yeah, Keshava. Oh, Krishna has such beautiful hair. Keshava. Beautiful, curly, black hair. Keshava. Govinda. Oh, Govinda. Or Gopal. Oh, Gopal, he's with the cows. And we namsang, and then we remember Krishna. So that's Nam Kirtan Smaran. But there's also Guna Kirtan. In Bengali, there's so many. Guna Kirtan, all about the qualities of Krishna. Bhakti Vatsal, Kruna, so many things. And Leela Kirtan, all about Leela, all about Krishna's Leela. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari, Gopijana Vallabha Giri Varadari. Nikunja Mevi Raje, Ganashama Radhe Radhe. Ganashama Radhe Radhe, Ganashama Radhe Radhe, Nikunja Mevi Raje, Ganashama Radhe Radhe, Nikunja Mevi Raje. Hey Ganasham, Nikunja Mevi, come into Nikunj for Prem Keli. I will pull on there's some flower fan in the Nikunj. There's some vine, some lata, some malati lata. Or Madhavi Lata is going over the branches of the tree, is going like this and coming outside the Nikunj. And then tied on the end of that Malati Lata, there is some fan made from some very fine twigs and then and some lattice work is there, like this. And woven in those twigs are so many Mogra flowers and jasmine flowers, like we have Phool Bungalow. You go to Monkey Bihari, you have a Phool Bungalow. There's some bamboo pieces. Like this, making some chatri, like this and some sides, and they all flowers and all around Monkey Bihari. It's called Phool Bungalow. You must have seen. So this same type of thing, they put all flowers and then it becomes a fan. Like we have this kind of thing, polar fan. This is a Nikunja Panka. Special. Usha. You have Usha Panka. Alright? This is called Nikunja. Nikunja Panka. So, oh Radhasham, oh Ganasham, Radharani, please, Viraje, come into Nikunj. And I will wait outside and I will pull. Like when you go to Bunky Bihari, this is supposed to be Nikunj. And you pull on the rope, if you see, if you're a little bit observant. And this was a standard in all the temples. Only now it's in Radhavallabh, which is down the street from Bunky Bihari. Radhavallabh, which is a very old temple. And Bunky Bihari, in the old temples, you can still see, you can see a hole. When the Garbhagriha, where you see the Thakurji, there's the opening, and you see above there, right in the center, there's a hole in the stone. So the Sakhi Manjaris, they're outside the kunj, and they're pulling this vine, and it's fanning Radha and Krishna. This is Lila Kirtan. So our minds should be filled with these things. Nam Smaran, Guna Smaran, Lila Smaran. Very sweet remembrances, very fulfilling, purifying, satisfying. But to think about rape and murder and death, it's not very healthy. So someone did some research and they took 3 glasses of water. It was many, but the conclusion was this. In three different rooms, separated rooms, he put 1 glass of water in each room. And then he went into the first room. There's a glass of the same water from the same source and all these type of things. And then same glass, same water, like that. The rooms were all the same. So then the same person, in the first room, he went into that room where there was that scientist and the glass of water. And there was no other object in the room. You follow? Is there maybe some table holding some table? Like some table and a glass of water, bus, maize and pani upar. So then in that room he started saying all bad things. All this dirt and badmash and this, that. You know, all kinds of bad words and curse words and all these kind of things. Now in the next room, in the second room, he was just saying all these things in the room and looking at the water and just saying, just saying all these bad, very bad talks and hard talks, curse words or profanity or whatever you want to say. Dirty language, they say, like this. So they went to the second room and then they just talked ordinary talk, cricket, politics, this ordinary type conversation. Then he went in the third room. And in that room, he talked about spiritual things. He talked about God and maybe recited some prayers or some Buddhist prayers or Japanese or whatever. Some kind of religious talks. And then he took those 3 glasses of water and he put them in a freezer and froze them. And this is how it's described. And then he took them out of the freezer and he thawed them out and they became room temperature. And in the first glass, the glass of the 3 glasses, in the first glass that was in the room that he spoke all dirty words to, inside the glass was a mosquito. There was a mosquito in that glass. What do you call it? Machar. Then in the second room where he simply talked ordinary talk, he drank the water and it was okay, like sweet. There was no mosquito and obviously you don't drink water with a mosquito in it, the first room. So the second room where he talked ordinary village talk, just normal, nice, social, cultured speech, the water was a little sweet, it was okay. Then in the third room where he was speaking of spiritual topics, the water was very sweet, very, very sweet tasting. So then, this was a very large conducted experiment. His conclusion, it was some psychologist, his conclusion was, based on this experiment, that our human body, like the earth that we live in, this earth is 75% water. And our human body, which our Atma is inhabiting, is 75% water. So his conclusion was that water, the quality of water, is affected by sound vibration. So our body, like these glasses of water, our body is like a walking glass of water. It's 75% water. So if we're always hearing gramya katha, or always hearing bad talks, or this rape, this murder, this robbery, this politician ripped off the 100 crores and cheating and stealing and terrorism and bombing and killing, all the good news that goes on every day on the TV. If we're always hearing all these things, it will affect us. It will affect us because we are a body of water. And so many mosquitoes will take birth in us. But if we always surround ourselves with Nam Guna Lila Smaran, remembering the holy name of Bhagavan, Krishna, Hare Krishna, and remembering his qualities and his pastimes, then the water of our body will become very sweet. Like the water in the room in which the scientists spoke about divine topics. And if the water of our body is very sweet, that means our minds will be very sweet, and our hearts will be very sweet. And sweetness is very satisfying. One feels satisfied. If one eats a meal and there's no sweet, he feels something missing. You know, in a lunchtime, a full meal. Because according to Ayurveda, all five rasas should be there to be satisfied. Bitter, sweet, pungent, salty, etc. So this was his conclusion. So what this kind of supports our verse here, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying what is the most important thing we should remember. But now we're remembering all these useless, mosquito-like topics.
Deya mode jivir kartavya kon dhyan Radha Krishna Padambuja Dhyan Pradhan. He said, what is the best type of meditation for the living entity, for the jiva? Rai Ramana says, the Pradhan Dhyan, Dhyan Pradhan, Dhyan Pradhan, the chief meditation is Radha Krishna Padambuja, Padambuja, to meditate on the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. This is the best meditation. And someone, when you first hear this, especially if you come from the West, because you don't hear things so much like this, it sounds rather strange, really strange. Because generally in our intercourse, our social intercourse with one another, we deal with faces. We deal with faces and forms and bodies. And husbands and wives, they don't pay that much attention to each other's feet. And generally, they stink. And maybe some do, but not too many ladies put perfume on their feet. It's a little unheard of to put perfume on your feet. Or how about the men? Do you put cologne on your feet? So the feet are not a really, they're not a pradhan. It's not, like you ask a man, what is the main thing of your wife that you meditate on? the main part of your wife, do you meditate on her feet? Hey, Papa, what's... You know, her face, her smile, whatever. But I doubt the feet. I really doubt it. So then that's why I said it's a little strange when you come into the spiritual circle. You're also talking about a person, the Supreme Personality, Bhagavan. He's also a person. And okay, I'm a person, I'm a little person, Vibhu Chaitanya, or Anu Chaitanya, he's Vibhu Chaitanya. And I have my personal appetite and desires and interests and attractions. And so he must be similar. I have a wife, he has a wife. In Dwarka he has wives, in Vaikunthi he has wives. And I have my wife and I have my girlfriend. And he has also his girlfriends in Vrindavan. He's not married. But when you're asking me to meditate, then the Pradhan Dhyan, the chief meditation is to meditate on Radha Krishna Padambuja. The lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, this is the main thing. I shouldn't meditate on Krishna's face or Radha's face or smile or hair or anything. Her feet. This seems rather strange. But that's where it starts. And all the Puranas and all the Shrutis and Vedic Shastras, whenever they talk about meditation, whether it's in the line of Gyan Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga, and they're speaking of this personal meditation, Rup, it's called Rup Dhyan, they say, meditate on the feet. Charan Chinna, the marks on the feet of Vishnu or Narayan, to meditate there.
And unless one has actually done that, they do not know the benefits of such a meditation. So it's like some wife might be a good cook. Unless and someone says, oh, she's a good cook, and well, you won't really know until you taste her cooking. The husband says, oh, you know, my wife is such a good cook, you should try some. You come to my house, please, you take dinner, you take prasad. So then you come, and then you'll come to know once you honor that prasad prepared by his beloved wife. So one actually meditates on the feet of Radha and Krishna or Lord Chaitanya, then he has some experience. What happens? Because Krishna's form, as I said, like if I take one drop of ocean water, the chemical composition of one drop of ocean water will be the same as 1 liter. The chemical composition of that ocean water. There'll be so much sodium and chloride and magnesium. And ocean water has many different trace minerals there, many different minerals in seawater. Seawater, samudra jal, or sindhu, what do you say, sindhu jal? Sindhu pani, samudra jal, seawater, ocean. So similarly, if I take this much infinity, ananta, or what do you say, infinity, I don't know how you say, but, or I take this much infinity, is there a difference? Infinity is infinity. Whether I have this much infinity or this much infinity. So whether I meditate, if I meditate on the toe of infinity, then I am associating with infinity. If I meditate on the foot of Krishna, then I'm meditating on the totality of the absolute truth. So or the smile, but this verse is saying this is pradhan dhyan, the chief meditation. Simply if I meditate on the feet, then I am coming in direct contact with infinity, with the supreme absolute truth, the paratattva, God, the supreme being, Bhagavan. So it has its effect, it has its influence on our mind. We become pacified, we become patient, we become concentrated, and it creates a certain sense of joy also. So those rishis that meditate on the feet, they understand something about this. Sarvatyaji jivera kartavya kahan vas brajabhumi brindavan yahan lila ras. Mahaprabhu said, where should the living entity live, abandoning all other places? Sarva tyaj. That's pretty easy. Same as Hindi. Tyaj is like tyagi. Tyagi, vairagi. Vairagi or tyagi, sadhu. Sarva tyag. He says, kahan vas. That sounds like the same as Hindi. It's Bengali. Kahan vas. Vas means residence. Where should you live? You give up every place else, abandon, throw every place, give every place up. And he says, where should you live? And he says, Brajabhumi Vrindavan, Yahan Lila Ras. You should live in a holy place like Brajabhumi, where the Lord performed the Rasa dance. Rasa Lila, Lila Ras, Yahan. This is a place of Lila Ras. What is the Ras? What is the Ras going on in Noida? What is this Ras that everyone's absorbed in? What is this Ras of Delhi or any place? There's nothing. There's Lila Ras, Ras Lila, Yahan Lila Ras, Brajabhumi Vrindavan. When I was applying for Indian citizenship, 1997, and I was accepted in January of 1998 by the Indian government. My application was accepted for citizenship. Nagri Kahun. Me Nagri Kahun. The I had to, before I could get the final papers of citizenship by naturalization, as it's called, I had to go to the American embassy and file a report and return to the Indian embassy, not embassy, but some other North Block, some offices to do with citizenship, and prove that I had renounced my American citizenship, because they don't allow dual citizenship, America. Either you're American or you're out. All or none. Some countries allow dual citizenship, but not America. They're very proud. Oh, you want to be a citizen of India? Hey, what? Ciao! Get out. So I went there and I informed him. I said, I have this request from the government. I have to prove that I have given up my residence or citizenship in America. He said, all right, here, fill out the form. So he gave me the form, and on the top it said, renunciation of American citizenship. That was the form, 601 or whatever. I said, well, okay, I am in the ashram of sannyas, which means the renounced order of life. So I guess this is the right form for me. Renunciation of American citizenship. So I filled it out. And then he says, now, that was an application. I had to apply for it because they had to see if I paid all my taxes. They had to investigate me. They don't just give you. So he said, now, sir, this application will take about 2 months to process because we have to send it to America. It has to go to the State Department, then the FBI, and they have to check out and see if you're a convict or a drug smuggler and you're hiding in India, and have you paid your taxes, and is your wife looking for you, and are your kids crying, and did you buy, pay your school fees for the kiddies? So, and if you haven't done any of those things, they're going to arrest you and send you back to America. So fortunately, we didn't have any strings attached. We already cut all the strings long ago. But he said it'll take about two months, and then if your application is approved, then you can submit your American passport, and we will void that and give you the certification that you're out, that your citizenship is khatam ho gaya. I said, no, you can take my passport right now. I said, take it now, and you can just cancel it. I don't need it. I don't want it. He looked at me. His name was Arthur B. Mills III. He was a consul general of the American Embassy at the time. Arthur B. Mills. He was 6 feet 8 inches tall. And when you were at the floor level where you are in the American Embassy, because usually Indians are going there applying for visa or whatever you call visas. Not too many Americans go for my function. So your floor level is like this, and the floor level, and there's a window, like a bank type of thing, like security window, and you go under the window, give your papers, and this kind of thing, you speak. There's a big window, and there's all the office there, like that kind of window there. And his floor level is about a foot taller. Your floor level is like this, and his floor level is a foot higher. The whole mezzanine, or whatever you call it. You understand what I'm saying? Farsh. So he's already 6 feet 8 inches tall. So when you're standing there and you go to give your passport, the guy is 7 feet 8 inches tall, right? And he's looking down and he says, Are you sure you want to submit your passport now? And I was holding it, and he was holding it on the other side. I said, take it. And he said, you must be crazy. He said, did you look outside? There's 500 people out there waiting to get a visa to come to America. Right? And there's a pact. American Embassy is packed day and night. People wait in line to get a visa, get their appointment and all these things, and a meeting or whatever you call it, interview. He said, they're waiting day and night, 500, 1,000 every day, and you're coming in here. You must be cracked. I said, no, I'm convinced. I said, you take it. And he said, I've been here as a consul general for 5 years. And only three people have come into the American embassy to apply, Americans have to apply for citizenship in 5 years. And you're one of them. And then he tried to make some insinuation. He said one of them was like some kind of hippie. And the other guy was a dancer. And then there's you. the Hare Krishna guy was it. He was trying to, you know, 7 feet, 8 inches tall, a big American guy. I was just smiling. I looked at him and I said, Hare Krishna. So I am telling this brief interlude because the question is asked by God. Lord Chaitanya is asking, Rai Ramananda, what is kahan vas, sarvatyaji kahan vas? Rejecting every place, rejecting Paris and London and Goregaon and Friends Colony and New Friends Colony and GK1 and Los Angeles and Silicon Valley and San Diego and Chicago and Toronto and London and everywhere and Fiji and Australia and New Zealand, rejecting all these countries and places. What is the best place that you can live? He says, Braja Bhumi Vrindavan, Yahan Lila Ras. So, we did that. So we can speak with some vishwas, conviction, sudrida vishwas. And because he said, you're crazy. Everybody in the world wants an American visa and live in America. And you're coming to India? I used to joke with my friends when I was sometimes my student friends in Delhi. I say, I see many students in India, they wear t-shirts. I love San Francisco. I love Los Angeles. I love USA. And I tell them, I said, I lived 36 years in America and I traveled the length and breadth of America. And I never saw, in the 300 million people that live in America, I never saw one person wearing a t-shirt that said, I love India. You follow? But in India, everyone's mad after America. I love San Francisco. I love New York. And they wear a Chicago Bears t-shirt, the UCLA, University of California, Los Angeles. I went to school there. But this is, Lord Chaitanya said, this is the place to live, Brajabhumi Vrindavani. So, Desh Chorde, Parivar Chorde, Mata Pita, Bhai Sab Chorde, Vrindavan Vas. Vrindavan Vas Lila Ras. So I am one crazy person, and I would like to invite all of you also to become crazy. If not today you become crazy, then maybe tomorrow. Or make plans. Please make plans to go crazy. Make some plan to go crazy and move to Vrindavan. To know, we're knowing some philosophy here and some points that about what, at least what the conviction of Rai Ramananda is, and Lord Chaitanya's questions. These are very relevant questions, but of course all the answers are basically the same. Chant Hare Krishna, live in Vrindavan and worship Radha and Krishna. With the songs, the place, the activities. But the author of this book, because today is the birthday of this book was finished 427 years ago, in the year 1581, and today is the birthday of this book. This book was written in Radhakund. I live in Radhakund. This book was written in Radhakund and finished in 1581. The Bhajan Kuti, the Bhajan Stali of the author is right there actually in Shamakund, which is contiguous to Radhakund. Krishna's Kaviraj. And he lived there. He came there at a very old age. He lived in Bengal. And he had a dream of Lord Nityananda, who was actually Balaram. because his a great devotee of Lord Nityananda, Miniketan Ramdas, came to visit his house, Krishna's Kaviraj, and his brother and the pujari there, they were a little bit, they insulted this devotee, Miniketan Ramdas, and he left a little bit disturbed. And Krishna's Kaviraj thought, how can I live in this house? Joint family type, joint family. He said, my brother insulted this great Mahabhagavat, this great devotee of Nityananda. And Lord, he was a devotee of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, especially Nityananda. I shouldn't live here. This is not a good place. He's an aparadi, Vaishnava aparadi. And I will become infected by his sangha, du-sangha, bad association. What to do? So that night he had a dream. And Nityananda Balaram, he appeared to Krishna's Kaviraj in a dream and he said, listen, this is not a good place. You should not stay here. You're living with bad people, like in the Mahabharata. Who is living with the people there? Bhishma. Bhishma was living with the... Yeah, Vidura was with the Kauravas, and then he finally left. So, you know the story. So he said, this is not a good place. Your brother is not a good man. He's not a good person. You should leave this place, go to Vrindavan. Go to Vrindavan, and when you go to Vrindavan, I guarantee you'll gain everything. You'll get everything by going to Vrindavan. And of course, he did that. And he was very old at the time. So he went to Vrindavan, and then when he was there, the devotees there, they were asking him, because he had written previously, when he was young and quite healthy, he wrote a wonderful granth about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, Ashtakalya Leela, about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna throughout the day and night, Ashtakal, the eight periods of the day and night, Pratakal, Purvankal, Madhyankal, Purvan, like this throughout the day, Shayankal, Ratrikal, Nishakal, Nishankal, Ashtakalya. And it is called Govinda Leelamrita. And it's a very wonderful book, about 3,000 verses, describing all the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Nitya Leela, Nitya Brajabhumi. So they thought, you're very capable. You're very talented, great Brahmin, poetic, great, because that's in Sanskrit, that book. But could you write a book? And the devotees in Vrindavan, they approached him and they said, could you write a book about Lord Chaitanya? When Radha and Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya, you wrote a book about Radha and Krishna. Govinda Leelamrita, from your realization and your spurtis and visions of these leelas. Could you write also a book about Lord Chaitanya? Because you're a contemporary to him, you're living now. And it's the same Radha and Krishna have come. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayanya. They have come as Lord Gauranga Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rasaraj Mahabhav. Rasaraj Sri Krishna Mahabhav Sarupini Radharani. Rasaraj Sri Krishna. And then Mahabhav Radharani. They've come as one. Rasaraj has joined with Mahabhav and become Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he said, what can I do? I'm old. So then he was, because he came to Vrindavan, he was very old and he was very feeble. So then he describes that he went to the temple, because all the devotees, they said, listen, let's go to Madan Mohan Temple. And they went to Madan Mohan Temple. And they went, or they didn't go, there was no temple there. But they went to see the deity of Madan Mohan. And that deity, Madan Mohan, is now in Rajasthan, in a place called Karoli. Maybe you've seen. The deity was originally in Vrindavan, and then in the year 1670, the deity was removed to Radhakund, and then to Kamban, or Kaman, and then to Jayapur, and then the princess of the king of Jayapur, she was being married to the prince of Karoli, and the princess was very much in love with the deity of Madan Mohan, which was being worshipped by her father, the king of Jayapur, by his priest or pujari, and she says, "Daddy or father, whatever, I won't go to Karoli unless you give me the deity of Madan Mohan." Unless I can go with him. I'll marry the prince, but I want to bring Madan Mohan with me. So he said, all right. Then he he gave the kanyadan of his daughter, and then he gave Madan Mohan also, and he built a very beautiful temple for Madan Mohan in Karoli. We've had the fortune to see a few times. So they went to that deity, which was revealed by Sanatana Goswami, and then this describes what happened at that meeting. This is in the 8th chapter. There, we can read that. Because all the devotees, they asked, they said, "Listen, you can write." And he said, I can't. I have arthritis, and I can't move my fingers, and I can't hardly walk. Anyway, Bhagavan Icha, then Kam Karo. Bhagavan Ne Icha, Ne Kam Karo. So he went to Madan Mohan. This Vaishnavera Agyapan Chintita Antari Madan Gopali Gailan Agya Magibari. This deity, which today is called Madan Mohan in Karoli, which is previously worshipped for 100 years or so before repairing to Karoli finally. He was first known as Madan Gopal, and Sanatana Goswami, he changed the name to Madan Mohan. This verse is telling, having received the order, Vaishnava Agya, of the Vaishnavas, but being anxious within my heart, it's same as Hindi, chinta. Isn't it? Chinta means some, chinta hoga means some disturbance. So in Bengali, it's chintita. Chintita antari. Now inside, antari. Inside I was disturbed. I was mentally disturbed. How am I going to do it? I'm old. I'm feeble. I'm weak. So, but anyway, Bhagavan gives me Bhagavan Shakti, then anything's possible. So I went to the temple of Madan Mohan to ask his permission. Madan Gopale Gailan Agya Magibari. Darashana Kari Kailun Charana Vandan Gosani Dasa Pujari Kari Charana Sevan. When I visited the temple, the priest, the Pujari, the Goswami or Gosai Das, he was serving the feet of the Lord, Charan Sevan. So I also prayed to the Lord's lotus feet. Prabhura charani jari agya magila, Prabhu kanta hoite mala kasiya padila. While I was praying to Madan Gopal for permission and power and ability to write this grant, at that time a mala or garland immediately slipped down from his neck, right exactly at the time I was praying. I was looking at the Lord and praying, doom. So this is considered to be a sign sometimes. I remember one devotee, he was in a dilemma about his guru. He had heard from different gurus in India, Gaudiya Vaishnava gurus, and he was trying to make a decision. He liked a couple that he liked, different gurus. He was inspired by their sangha, but he didn't know which one to choose to take diksha. So he was in Jagannath Puri at the time, so he went to the Jagannath temple. And he went before the deity of Jagannath, Jagannathji, and he prayed to Jagannath, "Jagannath, please, I need some kind of sign. I don't know which. I'm in chinta. I'm in a dilemma. I'm disturbed within myself. I don't know which guru to choose. So can you give me some kind of sign?" So he was praying like this and looking at the deity. And at that time, there was a flower inside on the Jagannath's mukut. And he was just looking at the deity and praying, "Please." And then he said, "These three gurus I'm thinking, should I give me some sign to indicate which one? Should I take initiation from so-and-so?" And when he said that, the flower went boink. The flower dropped down. And then he thought, "Wait a minute. I was praying in this flower." And he looked around to see if anybody else was looking at the deity. And no one was really... He said, "That must be for me. That must be a sign for me." And then because he also felt like when he saw the flower fall from the deity, at the same time in his heart, he heard an affirmation. He almost felt like somebody was standing next to him saying, "Yes. Yes. Affirmative. Yes." He was looking. He was like, he actually thought someone was saying yes to some other person. He actually saw the flower, which is enough confirmation, but he heard that yes. And he was like, "What is that? Am I hearing something?" There was no one there. He said, "Okay, that must be the one." So then he went and took initiation from that. So the same thing is happening here 500 years ago, that the garland slipped down. And Sabha Vaishnav Gan Hari Dwani Dila Gosani Dasani Mala More Gala Dila. As soon as that happened, all the Vaishnavas standing there loudly chanted, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And the pujari, he brought me the garland and put it around my neck. Because Krishnadas went to the temple, not alone, but with these, because all the Vaishnavas, they implored him, beseeched him, please, Krishnadas, please go. You're the one. You are the one. Just like when the Prabhupada left this world, everyone went to all the GBC, they went to Satsrupa Maharaj. And they said, look, you're the best writer in ISKCON at that time. And he's a very good writer, even today. They said, please, you're the most qualified one to write the biography of Srila Prabhupada. Will you? And we all, on behalf of the whole mission and all the God brothers, will you please take up this task? And so he said, I pray to Prabhupada that he gives me the strength. And he did that job. He wrote, Satsrup Das Goswami wrote the biography of Srila Prabhupada. It took about 8 years or so to finish it. It's quite elaborate. So the Vaishnavas, they approached him and they begged him. He said, "What can I do? I can't even write. My hands don't work. Anyway, let's all go together to Madan Mohan, to Madan Gopal." So they all went en masse, and they went. So they're all around him, and he said, "Look, I'll pray to the Lord, and if the Lord gives me strength, gives me power, then I'll do the work." So they're all hoping, they're all very hopeful. So they're all standing with him, and they're all looking. And then he's praying, then boink, and everybody, oh, there it is, that's a sign. See, he said yes. So everybody was waiting and anticipating something, but maybe nothing happens, and they would all go away and cry. But so the Lord never lets down his devotees. So then the pujari brought that to and gave to everyone. Agya Mala Pana Amara Haila Ananda Tahan Karino E Grantera Aramba. It's almost like Hindi. I was greatly pleased to have the garland signifying the order of the Lord, and then and there I commenced to write this book. This is a famous verse actually in the Gaudiya Sampradaya amongst all the Bengali devotees. They actually went before they read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, like we say, before we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are a couple of verses that we often recite. Well, of course, we say Om Namo Bhagavate. But generally, in the Vaishnav Sangha, they say Nashta Prayeshu Badreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavat Yutamashloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtaki. Because this is saying Nitya Bhagavat Sevaya, the Nitya Bhagavat Seva, that this Bhagavatam, Nashta Prayeshu Badreshu, anything that's a Badra, Nasht. Anything, any difficult times or difficulties, if you hear this Bhagavatam and serve this Bhagavatam, they'll become destroyed by this Bhagavat Shravan. Bhagavat Shravan Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga. The Bhagavatam should be heard in association with Rasik Vaishnavas or some good advanced Vaishnava. So, Nashta Prayesha Badreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevya. So, this verse is often spoken. So, before Chaitanya Charitamrita is spoken, generally in the Bengali Sangha, because it's a Bengali book, they recite this verse, which is Adi Lila chapter 8, verse 78. It's a very significant verse. It glorifies the writer and it glorifies the book itself. E Granta Lekaya More Madan Mohan Amara Likana Jena Shukara Patan. Actually, this is the author speaking. Chaitanya Charitamrita is not my writing, but the dictation of Sri Madan Mohan. My writing is like the repetition of a parrot. E Grant Lekaya, same as Hindi, Likana. More Madan Mohan. He says this Grant is actually written by Madan Mohan. Amara Likan, my writing is like a parrot's shukapat. Shuka, we say tota, right? Tota. Parrot, tota, tota pat. When we say Bhagavat pat, tota pat. He said, I'm not writing this book. My hands don't work. I'm like this. I have arthritis. I'm holding the pen. Madan Mohan is writing this book. So this is a pranam mantra before reciting the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila. chapter 8, verse 75 or 76. This last verse, he says,
Se liki madan gopal e likai kashtera putali jena kuhake nachai.
Putali. That's interesting. In Bengali we say this is putali, which means dal. Because sometimes I say put cutli, but it's actually cut putli. But I think it must be because I'm more familiar with the Bengali. Because the Bengali is P-U-T-T-A-L long I. Putali. Putli means cut putli. You say, what do you say in Hindi? So in Hindi it's cut putli, and then in Bengali it's putli. You know, putli. Interesting.
Krishnas Kaviraj, the author, says, as a wooden doll is made to dance by the puppeteer, or he says magician, I write as Madan Gopal orders me to.
So this is how this book came about. It was actually written by God. This is what the author is telling us. I didn't write this book. Like once, Srila Prabhupada, he was in Mayapur, and he was in his room. In his room in the Padma Bhavan, Lotus Building. It's called Lotus Building, Padma Bhavan. And he was smiling, and he was reading the Krishna book. Krishna book is Dasama Skanda, 10th canto, Krishna Lila, Lilapat. And he wrote it. I mean, he translated and wrote the tikas and purports. It's his own book. And he was sitting there going, he was relishing it. And then a disciple came and said, he just came in. Prabhupada didn't even notice. He just came and sat down. And he was watching Gurudev. And Prabhupada is engrossed. He's engrossed in his own book. And I thought he wrote these books for his disciples, and it seems strange. The disciple thought it was rather strange that he was reading his own book, because it's like you're a professor and you write a book. You know the subject, so you write a book on biology. You don't sit around and read it. It's for the students. Usually, you may teach it and read it during the class, but you don't sit around and relish over my biology book. It's like it didn't. It seemed rather strange to the disciple, unusual. And when he caught Prabhupada's attention, he asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, you seem to be engrossed in reading the Krishna book. I mean, this is your book. I mean, you wrote it, but I mean, you're even reading it? You're also reading your own book? And Prabhupada smiled. And he said, actually, I didn't write this book. I didn't write the Krishna book. Krishna wrote the Krishna book. That's why I call it, because Prabhupada gave it the name. It's actually the 10th canto. But it came out, when it first came out, it was all in English, and Prabhupada gave the name Krishna book. And no one really understood the background of that title until he revealed this anecdote or leela. He said, I didn't write this book, Krishna wrote this book, and I'm enjoying reading what Krishna wrote. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Krishna book ki jai. So this same phenomenon is being described here in 1581 or whatever this book was started, Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Madan Likaya ye e granta Likaya Madan Gopal. This book is written by Bhagavan Madan Gopal. I did not write this book. We had something similar, not the same extent of transcendental experience, but we had the opportunity to live in Sevakunj in our Gurudev's Bhajan Kuti from 1989 to 1992 in Vrindavan in the Radhadamodar Mandir. We stayed in the kitchen of our Gurudev's Bhajan Kuti and we did Seva there every day for 3 years. And when we were living there, we were thinking that our Gurudev, he wrote The Easy Journey to Other Planets, one small paperback book. He wrote this book here. And he wrote the first canto of Bhagavatam here from 1962 to 1965 when Prabhupada stayed there. And we're staying here in the association of Radhadamodar and Srila Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami, and in such a divine, spiritually enriched atmosphere and environment. And I was thinking, will I just pass my time here and have no special experience or something happen here? It's like going to, someone tells you about a magic place. Oh, there's a very magic place. You go there, some magic will happen. So then you go to the magic place and you sit there. Well, where's the magic? When's the magic going to happen? And then you stay there for some time and you come back and the person said, did you experience the magic? I said, no, I went there, nothing happened. So I was there in that kind of anxious utkanta bhav, eagerness, yearning for something, a special experience. And days were passing, months were passing. Then one night we were sleeping there and we had one dream. And in the dream, someone came, I don't know, I can't say Krishna this, that, but someone came, I don't know if it was Prabhupada, I can't remember, but I remember the voice and said, I want you to write two books. I want you to write one book about Prabhupada and one book about Vrindavan. And the chapters for the Prabhupada book should be this and this and this, and the chapters for the Vrindavan book should be this and this and this. So I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I got it, or whatever time it was, and I got out a pen and I wrote down this book about Prabhupada, the title was there, and I wrote down the chapters. Then I wrote the book about Vrindavan and I wrote down the chapter titles. And I went back to sleep. I thought, wow. And then the next day I woke up. When I woke up, I thought, oh, I have to write two books. And so then I thought, which one to write first? Or try to write, whatever. Of course, I wasn't very old, like Krishnadas Kaviraj. One book was about Gurudev, and one book was about Brajabhumi, Vrindavan. So I thought, well, I better start with a Guru Mahima, Guru Kripa Hi Kevalam. Well, I should try to glorify Guru first. So then that we worked on that book and somehow it was completed. It was a very small book. Prabhupada at Radha Damodar Mandir. That's in Hindi now also and in English. And that was published in 1990, I suppose, something like that. And then the next book we worked on, and that there was about 11 chapters that were told and I wrote down. And that book is called Appreciating Sri Vrindavan Dham. It's really a wonderful book, actually. And as we were working on that book and researching, collecting information, quotations from different Puranas about Vrindavan Mahima and all these things, we had about 12 chapters, but then that was in a dream, 12 chapters. But as we were working, then we were thinking, just consciously thinking, not any kind of sporty or like this, that okay, these 12 chapters, but I was thinking, well, there should be a chapter about this, about the Goswamis, and what about this and that? And then the 12 became 18. So 12 chapters came by some inspiration and swapna, and then 6 chapters by our own logic or idea. So these two books are most appreciated, especially Appreciating Sri Vrindavan has been translated in many different languages of the world, and a very, very popular book. I mean, I had some tremendous responses from this book. I mean, devotees would come to me and say, I haven't been in Vrindavan in 15 years, and I read your book, I stayed up all night reading your book, and the next morning I went to a travel agency and I booked a ticket to New Delhi. from San Francisco to New York, from New York to New Delhi. I have many, many people think, really, people come up to me about this book. So, I can have some relationship with this particular anecdote. What stirs in the heart of a lover of God, one who is absorbed in love divine, one who's actually dipped into the ocean of divine love, one who's actually swimming in the ocean of ambrosial ocean of ecstatic joy, one who's actually made it, graduated. He's actually entered into the divine firmament and had a direct experience with the Lord. What is the content of his heart? How does he actually feel? So the Krishnadas Kaviraj, who also has a dual identity, he He has an identity in Gaur Leela, or Lord Chaitanya's Leela. He's written this book as Krishna's Kaviraj. But in Krishna Leela, he's a Manjari, he's a Sakhi female. His or we can say her name is Kasturi. Kasturi means musk. We say musk. Kasturi Manjari. She is one of the Ashtamanjaris of Radharani. She has Ashtasakis. Ashtashaki Shiromani Radhe Radhe. Ashtashaki Shiromani. Radharani is a Shiromani. Shiro means head, right? Shir. Mani means jewel. She's a crest jewel of all the Sakis. Ashtashaki Shiromani Radhe Radhe. Kanomano Mohini Radhe Radhe Radhe. Prishabana Nandini Radhe Radhe Radhe. So she has Ashtasakis and she has Ashtamanjaris. Rupa Mandri, then Labanga Mandri, Vilas Mandri, Guna Mandri, Kasturi Mandri, Manjulali Mandri, and like this. So this is Krishna's Kaviraj, just Kasturi Mandri, one of the Ashtamandris. So he's in this few verses, he's speaking about himself. Because at this juncture, he's glorifying Lord Nityananda. He said, Lord Nityananda is so wonderful, because by his mercy, he told me in a dream to come to Vrindavan. I followed his advice. I came to Vrindavan. I told you all of this. And now coming to Vrindavan, I've got the association of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana and Raghunath Das Goswami. And I've seen Vamshivat. And I've seen the Ras Leela. And I bathed in Jamuna. I saw Giriraj and Radhakund. And he's given me a place at Shamakund to do my bhajan. And I've had the darshan of Radha Govinda, Madan Mohan and Gopinath. And I've attained all these things. I've attained Bhakti Vidya. I've attained sadhu sangha. I've attained so many things by the mercy of Nityananda, Nitai Kripa. Nitai Kripa, Nityananda Kripa. And then he started to think, but how have I received all this fortune, all this mercy? What have I done? Who am I? What am I? And then he said, then he starts speaking. It's like what they call in drama a soliloquy. It means you stand on the corner of the stage and you just speak. You go, but Bhagavan, how could you do this to me? And like this type of thing. And everyone's watching. Solo speech. So he's speaking like that. He's saying, Jagai madai haite muni se papishta. Puri shera kita haite muni se lagishta. He says, because Jagai and Madhai were two Brahmins from Navadvip. They lived during Lord Chaitanya's time. And they were very sinful. They were fallen Brahmins. And they committed crimes and all kinds of sinful things. Very, very sinful. And now, this is the heart of the Premi Bhakta of Krishna's Kaviraj. He says, I, Krishna's Kaviraj, I am more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. And what is my quality? What is my position? I am lower than a worm in stool. It's on the stool. There's so many worms in our intestines. Tapeworms, pinworms, all these different kinds of worms. And they come out inside the stool sometimes. They're inside there. He says, I am lower than that. He says, Purishera. This Purishera, this is stool. This Puri, Purishera. Purishera kita hoite muni se lagishta. Lagishta means lower, like lagu. We have lagu. Lagu means light. Lagishta. He says, I am lower than a worm in a stool. This is how he's feeling. Then he says, Moranam shuneje tara punyashai. Moranam layaje tara papahai. He says, anyone who hears my name will lose all his pious credits, all his punya, punya karma, or sukriti or punya karma, be nashed. If you hear my name, anyone who utters my name will become sinful. Emana nirgrina more keva kripakare ekanityananda binu jagat bitare. Who in this world but Nityananda could show his mercy to such an abominable person as me? Preme matta Nityananda kripa avatar, utam adam kichuna kare vichar. That sounds like Hindi the same. Because Nityananda is intoxicated
Prima Mata. Mata means mada. You say kam krod lo mada matsarya. So mada, and it's tea, it's mata, mat, mata. Prema mat, unman. He's mad in prem, but he's a creep avatar. He may be mad. He's mad, but he's like he's a premi, like we say, rasik pagal. Rasik pagal. He's mad in love of God, but he's creep avatar. He's the incarnation of mercy. He's the descent of divine compassion. As a result, utam adam. Kichuna kari vichar. He doesn't care if you're utam, if you're the topmost, or you're adam, you're the bottom. You're on the bottom or you're on the top. Utam adam. He doesn't care. He doesn't distinguish. Jayage padai tare kare nishtar ateva nishtarila mohena durachar. Nityananda delivers all those who fall down before him. Therefore, Nityananda has delivered such a sinful and fallen person as me. So, this is the day of the appearance of this book in 1581, 427 years ago. There's a big birthday party for this book in Shamakund. Today it happened, and we're having a mini birthday party here. So we heard about the author, how he received the divine sanction, Agya, Bhagavan Agya, and empowerment. Shakti Avesh, he became empowered to write this grant. And then we heard something about his heart. Who am I? I am nothing. I am lower than a worm and stool. Anyone who hears my name will lose all their pious credits and become sinful. I am more sinful than Jagai and Madai. And this isn't some joke. This is the actual genuine feeling of his heart. Because generally, all of us, we are covered by layers after layers after layers after layers of hunkar. False pride. So much pride. We have such an inflated and exaggerated idea about our self-worth and our position. Oh, I am this. I am sannyasi. I am doctor. I am this, that. I am computer, this, that. It is all nothing. And you hear this person, he knew so many languages. He knew music. Krishnadas Kaviraj was an expert in music. You see when you read these different books, because to write all the things that he wrote in Govinda Lilamrita, he wrote all about the Ras Lila, the singing, the bowl, the tal, the raga, this, that, everything. He knew everything about music, sangeet. He knew everything about kavya. Everything about kavya, about sangeet, everything about Sanskrit, vyakaran, naya, tattva, darshan. He was a vast scholar. But he's feeling like this. So grateful. Feeling himself so low and so grateful for the mercy of the Lord. So by hearing about such a personality who really feels like that, it creates some sanskar within the mind and heart. That this is, even the Christians have this idea, although it's not highly developed. They say the meek shall inherit the kingdom of God. Meek means dainyabhav. Dainyabhav means humble. They're very humble. If someone is very humble, they attract the attention of the Lord. The lower we become, the higher we go. The lower we become, the higher we go. This is spiritual mathematics. We become more and more humble and more submissive, then Krishna picks us up and takes us all the way to the spiritual world. But in the material world, it's all, in the material mathematics, it's all dog eat dog. Everyone's competing for supremacy. Everyone's trying to establish their godhood or their leadership. So we're trying to go as high as we possibly can go. Succeed, go to the top, right? Go to the top. Somehow or other, step on anybody and everybody, get where you have to go. But get there. And then we go down. We say, what do they say in the material world? Pride precedes a fall. So it's interesting, by pride you go down.
And by humility, you go up. Humility means, humility comes from the word humus. Humus means earth in Greek or Latin or something. Humus, humility. So humility means to be close to the earth. Trinadapi sunichena tarari vasishna. Amanina, aman. No man, no respect. Me, Sanskrit pandit, Kavya, a Kavi Raj. The title was given to him by the Sangha, by the Vaishnav Samaj. The Vaishnav Samaj, they awarded him the title. You are the Raj. You are the Raj of poetry. Like you give Padma Shri sometimes. They have Padma Shri. Padma Shri in science, architecture, literature, alag alag subjects. So he was given the title Raj, Kavi Raj. He didn't say, his name is Krishnadas. He didn't go around, I'm Krishnadas Kavi Raj. He didn't go around and say, I'm Kavi Raj. He said, Papishta Lagishta. I'm lower than a worm in soil. I'm Krishnadas. Das, Das, and Das. I remember sometimes the people, sometimes someone comes up to me, they see me. Are you Mahanidhi Swami? And I go like this. I said, I think so. because it's like, what am I? I'm nothing. I mean, I'm just like, whatever I am, it's only by the mercy of my guru. Because there's a phrase, punar mushika bhava. Again, become a mouse. There's a story, about the mouse. We'll finish on this little story. There once was a mouse. Was it mouse? A mouse was harassed by a cat. This is pretty old. Billy and Chua. Musika. Chua. And a mouse went to a rishi. He went to a great sage or a tantric or whatever. And he said, listen, rishi, Baba, this cat is giving me a hard time. Can you make me a cat? Make me a big, fat, bad cat. So then the rishi said, yeah, Bhavatu, you become cat. Billy Bhavatu, become a cat. So he became a cat, and he was a mean cat. He's a bad cat. So then that cat was in good shape, and then no other cats were bothering. But then he had a problem. Then the dogs were chasing up the tree. Oh, I can't come down from the tree, because if I come down, these dogs will eat me, and I'm getting tired sitting in a tree all day. But they won't leave the tree base. They're staying there. So finally, somehow he got down. He went to the rishi. Hey, Baba, my dog's giving me a big problem. Can you make me dog? Okay, Kuta Bhavatu. Kuta Bhavatu. Become a dog. So he became a dog. He's a very, very fierce dog. Always barking, biting, everything. Chasing, running, jumping. And no problem. But then, sometimes he runs in the forest after some rabbit, this, that. But then one day he went in the forest. Hey, what's that? And this big tiger came running after him. Ah! Oh, my God. Oh. Put his tail. Oh. he folded his tail, put the tail down between his legs, and he's out of there. And then he said, what was that? And he went back and he looked up on the Wikipedia. The Kuta went on the computer and he looked up on the Wikipedia. He looked on the internet and he said, T-I-G-E-R, tiger. And he said, what is this thing, tiger? And what do they eat? And he said, tiger eats dogs. Oh, tiger eats dogs. Oh, I don't want to go in the forest again. That tiger will eat me. So then he's thinking, this is very dangerous. So he went to Rishi Baba. Oh, Rishi Baba, this tiger is giving me a hard time. Can you please make me tiger? So he said, Vyagra Bhavatu. Vyagra means tiger, I think so. Vyagra. I think so. So he said, you become a tiger. So he became tiger. But as you may know, that besides dogs, one of the primary foods of a tiger is Agni. manush, human beings. So the tiger, when the dog became a tiger, then he looked at the Rishi Baba. He fixed his eyesight on Rishi Baba, and he opened his mouth like he was going to eat him. And Baba said, "Hey, Kyakure, what are you doing? What is this? You think you're going to eat me? Punar Mushika Baba." Again, become a mouse. So, tiger to mouse. So, Prabhupada, once he was speaking to the devotees, and he said, "Listen, somehow or other, by the mercy of my Gurudev and by the mercy of Krishna, many of you have become tigers." He's telling some sannyasis, his sannyasi disciples. He said, "Many of you are now big tigers, but be careful. Don't become mice. Don't become a mouse. So don't become proud. Always think of oneself lower than the straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, free from all false prestige and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, the holy name will come and live in your heart. The holy name will come and live in our minds. And when you're living with someone, then you're never separated. And when you're never separated, then when you're always with someone, that means you're never separated. That means sada. Sada means always together. Kirtaniya?
Sada
Hari. So Hari Kirtan. Hari Kirtan will be your breath. Hari Kirtan will be your dream. Hari Kirtan will be your walking. Hari Kirtan will be your talking. And Hari Kirtan will be your life of your life. Any questions?
What was the relation between Krishnadas Kaviraj and Swami? Why did he specially choose out Madan Mohan? Why didn't he go to Govindaji or Gopinath to get this mercy?
The Madan Gopal or Madan Mohan was revealed, or let's say brought to Vrindavan by Sanatana Goswami. The deity was first revealed by Advaita Acharya at a place called Advaitavat. There's a banyan tree, there was a banyan tree there, maybe a small one there now. There's a banyan tree there, and Advaita Acharya, who is Mahavishnu, representation. Mahavishnu is partially represented in there in the form of Advaita Acharya. He was doing bhajan. Before Lord Chaitanya came to Vrindavan, Advaita Acharya was there doing bhajan there on the bank of the Yamuna under a banyan tree. And while he was doing his bhajan, then he had in Swapna, he saw Krishna. And Krishna said, "I'm here." And there's Tila, this like hill just nearby. "Please, you worship, take me out of here and worship me." So then he took him out and worshipped him there at Advaitavat. Then he was returning to Bengal in Navadvip, so he wanted to give the deity to some proper person to do puja. But everyone there in Vrindavan, there were only some Nimbarki sadhus there, and other Vairagi bhajananandis. And they were just absorbed in their lila smaran or their meditation, so they weren't so much interested in doing puja. So he went to Mathura. In Mathura, there are the Chobe families. Chobe is the main Brahmin family in Mathura, a very old, established Brahmin dynasty, Chobe. So he went there and he found one Brahmin, reputable Brahmin, and he left the deity with him. And later, some 20 years later or so, Sanatana Goswami was doing Madhukari. And then there's a long story. And then that deity eventually came in his care. And he brought the deity to the near, practically the same place, on the top of the hill this time, Dwadasaditya Tila. And he kept the deity in a tree there and was worshipping the deity who was previously Madan Gopal. He renamed the deity Madan Mohan. So Krishnadas Kaviraj went to Sanatana Goswami and the deity, because you can't separate the Lord from his devotee. Because Sanatana Goswami was considered to be the leader of the Vaishnava community, and his deity was considered to be the Sambandha deity. The deity which is established is the foundation, the basis, like Sandini Shakti. So if you want to start something, or you want to found something or start some, found to begin, like we say, Samstak. Samstak Acharya means the founder. In English we say founder Acharya, but in Sanskrit or Hindi you say Samstak. Samstak? Samstapaka. Samstapaka Acharya. Right? Samstapaka. So Samstapaka. Complete stapak. Completely establishing very firm grounds. So this is the deity for establishing devotion or establishing any mission in Krishna consciousness or establishing any endeavor. To begin any endeavor or to establish any endeavor, one requires the mercy and blessings of Madan Mohan. This is why he went to Madan Mohan. So once it's established, if he wants further inspiration in the service, then he may possibly go to Govindaji. But to establish and begin his Granta Aramba, Aramba means begin, right? Like you see in the Hindi Panchang, it says Kartik Aramba. The beginning, it means the beginning of Kartik Brat or whatever. So the same in Bengali. So Granta Aramba, to begin the writing, that means to establish your book or to begin your book. So then he required the blessings of the deity of Madan Mohan. Any other question?
Did he, before writing Govinda Lilamrita, did he also go to some other Govinda?
Govinda Lilamrita was written in Bengal. That was written first. That's why he was asked to write this, because he already proved his expertise in writing. He was already a Kaviraj. He was given, for that book, which is a Sanskrit masterpiece of poetry, music, meter, it's a masterpiece. It's highly revered throughout the Gaudiya Sampradaya and throughout the world of Sanskrit literature also. That was written long before Chaitanya Charitamrita, in his youth. And he got the title Kaviraj. Like you may do something and become Padma Shri, and then 20 years later you're doing something else, but you're already Padma Shri.
But he's not taken among those 8 Kaviraj, he's separate among the Manjaris. Those Ashta Kaviraj,
I don't know about Ashta Kaviraj. I know about them, but I can't remember. But though he may be one of those, but those, the Ashta Mandris are not the same as the Ashta Kaviraj.
Yes.
The Ashta Mandris are simply the 6 Goswamis plus Lokanath Goswami and Krishna's Kaviraj. Lokanath Goswami is Manju Lali. Manju means charming, I think so. Delightful. Manju, right? Manju. Manju Lali, a charming girl. Something else? Okay, so thank you. And I pray that some of these topics you may consider. And I already invited everyone to become crazy.